Sota Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis 2-2, and the Mishnah discusses the preparation of the water that'll be used for the Maim Hamarim, for the Sota to drink. It says, Hayamevi Piali Shel Cheres Chadasha. A Kohen would bring a Fiali, or Piali. This is a small earthenware container for water. The Bartanura says it's a cup, and that was the word for cup in ancient Greek. In English, we have the word vial, V-I-A-L, which comes from the word phial, P-H-I-A-L, which is from this word here, phiali, which indeed is a Greek word for like a little vial, a flask of something to contain water. And it was made out of cheres, earthenware. This was, first of all, an allusion to the same way you use earthenware to be metara, metzora, someone impure, so too over here. And we're purifying someone, so to speak, who became Tamei, perhaps, all metaphorically. And also, the Gemara suggests that we have sort of a mida keneged mida here, as much as we're assuming that it was sort of wined and dined by the adulterer and gave her some, in a fancy goblet, some wine to drink. So now she's drinking out of something that's very not fancy. It's earthenware. The requirement is it must be chadasha, must be new, meaning it hadn't been used for any purpose before at all. It's a brand new container. V'nosen l'socha chati lugmai min hakior. And into that is put a half a lug of water from the kior, the wash basin. Laver, often translated, L-A-V-E-R. So here, the chati lug, in the system of my Mishnah, it's always talk about a chati lug as being, a lug as being half a liter of fluid, like a small soda container. That's half a liter. So a half of that would be a quarter of a liter, meaning basically 250 cc, or basically the same as what we'd call a measuring cup in Imperial, in America, of water. And it's taken from the kior. Now, the reason for this is the Pasuk says, V'lakacha kohen mayim kadoshim. The water has to be sanctified water. And the truth is that any water that was inside a klisharis, like we said in the previous mission, would already become consecrated and therefore sanctified and therefore okay for usage. However, because of the extra symbolism that the kior, in its origins, was made of these copper mirrors that the women who came out of Egypt used as part of the process of inducing their husbands to sleep with them and make another generation. So the famous story over there in the Midrashim that Moshe Rabbeinu thought that was a rather inappropriate thing to donate to the building of the Mishkan, but Hashem said to the contrary, this is exactly what femininity is meant to be for, and this is the greatest thing ever, and therefore they have a special place of purifying the hands of the Kohanim with the kior, and so that's where those mirrors should go. So it seems appropriate there that that's sort of the appropriate use of feminine beauty, if you will, and therefore that's the source from where we are bringing this to sort of stick it to this woman who seems to have not behaved appropriately. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Revius. Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, it need not be a half of a lug, but rather a quarter of a lug, meaning the side of a Kiddush cup, like 125 cc, because he says, Keshem Shmemaat Baksav, this is actually a comment of the, like an editorial comment of the Mishnah, just as Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says there's less writing that goes on the parchment, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, so Kach Mamat B'mayim, he also requires less water. What's happening here is that there's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai regarding the quantity of water, which doesn't give a specific amount. Rather, it's that the tradition is you have to have enough water that it can fully and sufficiently erase all of the writing on the parchment that's going to go in, that we'll talk about in the next Mishnah. So, since Rabbi Yehuda Shita is, as we'll see over there, there's much less writing, so therefore he needs less water to wash away. Therefore, he says that a quarter of a lug, or a revius, is sufficient. But indeed, the halacha doesn't like him at all, but rather like the Tanakam over here. So now, the psukim require that the ingredients are that he takes into the sanctified water, he's going to put in dust, dirt from the floor of the base of Mikdash. The basic of this is actually the pasuk which says, "Umin ha'afar asher yeh b'karka ha'mishkan," and from the dust that's on the floor of the Mishkan, that the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the moving temple, yikach ha'kohen v'nosen el hamayim. The Kohen should take it and put it into the water. And because we'll see in a moment, it doesn't say v'nosen b'mayim, rather el hamayim. The extra word suggests, as far as Chazal understand, that it's telling you that you can't just put a little bit in, it has to be enough that it's visible atop the water. And therefore, we go back to our mission here. We say we have to get that some dirt, some sand, ground, earth from the floor of the Mikdash. The problem is that the base of Mikdash had like marble tiling throughout. It wasn't a dirt floor, so where do we get that dirt from? So the Mishnah says, Nichnas laheichel. He should go, a Kohen should go into the Heichel. The Heichel, I think in English translated as sanctuary. The idea is in the western back, the western side of the temple complex, there's that sort of, I'll call it, T-shaped building. Has three basic parts to it. The top of the T, if you will, is called the Ulam, the antechamber, and then behind that is the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that structure, as the Mishnah Midos describes, is looking like a line, a crouching line. So that whole structure is called the Heichel, and it's saying here that the Kohen should go into the Heichel, ufanali yamino, he should turn immediately to his right. The general rule is that when you're turning in the Beis HaMikdash, unless otherwise you're forced to do so, you're turning to the right first. This is like a general principle that was learned out from how the ramp operates. The kol pino shata pona lo yu ela derech yamin. Whenever you're turning the Beis HaMikdash, it should be like rightward. So again here, they'll walk into the ulam, meaning the entranceway to the Heichel, and turn to the right. U'makam hayasham ama al ama. There was a one-by-one ama area on the floor. V'tavla shel shayesh. It had a marble tile there. V'tabaat haisa kavua ba. And there was like a ring, like think of like a brass ring in the middle. Think of like a manhole cover that needs to be lifted up. So the ring is on that one-by-one ama marble tile. Ukashehu magbia, he would lift up the tile. Venotel afar mitachtea, he would take some of the dust that's beneath the tile in the ulam. Venosin kadeshire al hamaim, and he puts it into this file, into this container with a sufficient amount that it is visible yira el hamaim. It can be seen floating on top of the maim, as I said before, because it says el hamaim, not just b'maim, so it has to be visible. Shneimar, the pasuk says, and from the dust that's on the ground, Hamishkan of the Mishkan, Yikach HaKohen V'Nasan El HaMaim, the Kohen shall take and put it into the water.